Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii and Boston, Massachusetts. I'm Danny Yamashiro with my co-host Suzanne Maurer.
Aloha.
Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose. How do people in power see and shape the world? View from the Top is Dr. D. Michael Lindsay's most recent book. He reports the findings of his 10-year platinum study, the largest ever interview-based study of senior organizational leaders, including former presidents, President Carter and Bush, and hundreds of CEOs at the nation's largest corporations and nonprofits. Dr. Lindsay joins us today to share about his book, about the school that he's serves as president, Gordon College, and his walk with Christ. You know, it's our walk with Christ that we are deeply interested in, particularly for you, dear friend. Do you know that right now, whatever you're facing, whatever you're going through, that there is always hope in Jesus? In Jesus who loves you so much that he died on the cross for your sins. He shed his blood on that cross to wash your sins away. He was buried, and 3 days later, he rose again from the grave. And today, the living Christ calls you to himself. Would you open your heart to Jesus? My friend, that's our hope. That's our prayer for you. Dr. D. Michael Lindsay is the president of Gordon College in Wenham, Massachusetts. Originally from Jackson, Mississippi, he graduated summa cum laude from Baylor University and holds graduate degrees in theology from Princeton Theological Seminary and Wycliffe Hall at Oxford. He earned his PhD in sociology from Princeton University. Dr. Lindsay, welcome to our show.
Thanks very much. Great to be with you.
I mentioned Jackson, Mississippi, but more specifically, where did you grow up?
Well, Jackson's a wonderful town, about 400,000, and I grew up there right in Jackson. My mom served as principal of a prep school that I attended. My dad was in the golf business, and in fact, that was my first trip to Hawaii. He was president of PGA of America, and so we attended the Grand Slam of Golf in the late 90s. And had a chance to visit Kauai and had a wonderful time.
What was it like having a father who's the president of the PGA?
I grew up going to great golf games and meeting lots of amazing people. I played as a kid, but I dropped out of it over time because I found that everyone was expecting me to play like my dad. He had been quite a competitive golfer, went on a full scholarship in college, and then played throughout his military career in the Air Force. And he was great and said, you should make your own path. And I'm grateful he gave me that opportunity. But it was really a wonderful childhood. I love my folks, and it's been a great blessing to also become dear friends with them as adults.
Mm-hmm. Who would you say influenced you most in your growing up years?
Well, I think it's pretty hard to deny the impact that our parents have, so I'm really grateful to both mom and dad and the love that they showed me. But I also was really active in a youth group in my hometown, and my youth minister and her husband were formative influences. In fact, in many ways, my own calling to being in Christian higher education came because of his life. He had always been an administrator at a Mississippi college, a Baptist school in my hometown. And I saw the difference he could make in the lives of students and also shaping the institution. And that's what originally drew me to the idea of maybe serving someday in Christian higher ed.
Is there anything that he would typically say that that stood out to you, that sort of resonates even to this day?
He was really wonderful about encouraging me to stay grounded in the Word and to be serious about my faith, but also not to take myself too seriously. I've always been sort of a hard-charging, type A kind of guy. And his name was Bill Townsend, and Bill was a wonderful mentor and friend, and oftentimes reminded me that it's important to be attentive to the people that you're around, not just getting the tasks done. And that's been a good reminder throughout my life.
Mm-hmm. How did you become a Christian?
When I was growing up, my family was active in the Catholic tradition, and Mom had been reared in that her entire life, and we were pretty active at the church. But I found that we were more drawn to a local Baptist church where the pastor was great about being kind and showing great outreach and being interested in our lives, and we got active there. And it was while I was becoming more active at First Baptist Church of Jackson, Mississippi, that I really came to experience the love of Christ in a profound and personal way. And shortly thereafter, I placed my trust in him.
About how old were you at that time?
I was 11.
A profound moment for an 11-year-old.
It was, and the Lord's been really great ever since then. We've been blessed to be actively involved in a variety of different churches. We've been active in many different places. We've lived in, throughout my married life, lived in many different spots. But the Lord's been really faithful to us, and I'm looking forward to coming to Hawaii to be able to get to know more of the Christian community there.
Was it difficult? You said it sounds like your family was going to the Baptist church. So was that a challenge at all, leaving the Catholic background?
You know, I would say that many of us have different sort of markers in our spiritual pilgrimage. Mm-hmm. And it underscores the importance of the pastor and the ministry staff and how they can shape your understanding. We had a parish priest who I think had a more prophetic stance toward his parishioners than a pastoral sense. Mm-hmm. And so when my family found themselves in some difficult times, some challenging times, the pastor really wasn't very pastoral to us. And so part of what drew us to the Baptist church is that they really just reached out to us in love and kindness.
That's a good word for us to all hear, isn't it?
Indeed.
You mentioned Bill Townsend. Now, from 11 years old and in throughout your teenage years, did you have a specific aspiration to become a college president?
No, I'm as surprised as everybody else that I ended up landing in this position. But I do think, looking back, you know, we really don't understand life going forward, but we understand it looking back. And I can now see the various moments where the Lord was preparing me for the particular calling to serve at Gordon College here in Boston. And it's been a wonderful place. But when I was in high school, I thought, you know, perhaps I might work in media or broadcast journalism. I thought it'd be really cool to be the host of Good Morning America. So I was kind of interested in that. I'd always been a news junkie and was interested in public life and politics. So maybe I thought I might do something in that area. But as I graduated high school and went off to college at Baylor, I did sense that God was calling me to some form of ministry, but I didn't think I was being called to be a pastor. I'm living proof that you can be involved in full-time ministry, but not being on a church staff. And throughout my career, I think the Lord has been gracious to give me opportunities to minister in strategic places. I love higher ed. I've always loved working with young people and college students. They're exciting and vibrant. And also, I think it's the leading edge of where the culture is going. And so I feel in some ways like a missionary on some of the work that I'm about. But it's always been very gratifying. And I think as I've looked back, I've seen how, even all the way back to my high school years, God was preparing me for this very, very thing.
Well, what a journey you have taken. By the way, what was it like studying at Oxford?
Mm-hmm. Oxford's an amazing town. So it's the oldest institution of higher learning in the English-speaking world. And my wife and I loved our time there. I pursued a one-year master's degree that allowed me to deepen my theological education. I worked with a world-class theologian named Alistair McGrath, who's also a really wonderful man. He has a doctorate in theology and in science, so he has two doctoral degrees and is eminently qualified, but incredibly humble, very gracious, and he was a wonderful tutor, as they're called at Oxford. I got a chance to learn a number of different things, and as well as got a chance to travel over Europe. It was a really special year in our family's life.
Dr. D. Michael Lindsay with us today, sharing his journey, his path of how God has led him to be the president of Gordon College. He's the author of View from the Top. We'll talk about that when we come back. We come back from our break. You know, since his appointment to the presidency of Gordon College in 2011, Gordon has experienced banner years in terms of enrollment, fundraising, financial strength, campus diversity, sponsored research, athletic success, and faith expression on campus. Well, he's setting an example today. He's expressing his faith here on our program. And as he shares, as we together share in this time with you, my friend, we talk about faith, we talk about life, we talk about leadership. Is Christ the leader of your life? Is he in charge of the goings about, as it were, of your day to day? When we come back, Dr. Michael Lindsay will share more heart to heart with you. Stay with us.
Desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup, I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Amashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042, 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time, so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ Is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Well, you may have heard of platinum. Platinum is one of those very distinct, unique, valuable elements. Dr. Lindsay has done what is called a platinum study for his book, View from the Top, is with us today. You're listening to the Good Life Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro with my co-host Suzanne Maurer. You can find out more about Dr. Lindsay at gordon.edu. And if you're tuning in right now, want to catch this program in its entirety, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com, get the free podcast, and share it with a friend. I know that you'll enjoy it, and I believe the Lord will use it to bring you and others closer and closer to Jesus. Dr. Lindsay, view from the top. Your 10-year study, explain to us what the Platinum Study was, and what does that acronym mean?
It was a wonderful project. It started off as my dissertation at Princeton. So I'm living proof that you can write a dissertation that your wife will describe as, actually interesting when it's all said and done. I was interested in trying to understand public leaders in America today and three things about them: their networks, their upbringing, and their motivation. Those words put together spell the word platinum, P-L-A-T-I-N-U-M. So it was a large academic study that involved interviews with 550 amazing people, former Presidents Carter and Bush, cabinet secretaries like Condoleezza Rice and Colin Powell, military leaders like Wesley Clark, heads of federal bureaus and agencies, leaders from every single presidential administration, from Johnson all the way up to Obama. I also interviewed 250 CEOs of large companies, including 20 of the Fortune 100 firms, the CEO of Walmart, the CEO of General Electric, the CEO of Citibank, as well as the chance to interview heads of nonprofit organizations, ministry organizations, and major universities. So everything from the head of the American Cancer Society and Salvation Army to the presidents of Harvard, Stanford, and Princeton. It was an amazing study. I got a chance to meet extraordinary individuals. I traveled everywhere from Bar Harbor, Maine, all the way down to your neck of the woods in Pearl Harbor, Hawaii. And in the process, I had a chance to meet some extraordinary leaders and learn their stories.
You found that virtually all formative experiences in the early lives of leaders are more ordinary than extraordinary. I think this will inspire an aspiring leader who may be listening, or maybe a parent or friend or grandma or grandpa who sees a great future in their son or daughter or grandchild. Explain what you've experienced in helping prospective leaders overcome certain disadvantages.
Well, one of the amazing things is that I expected there would be any number of variables that we could measure in somebody's life that would have a really significant impact on their later likelihood of being a great leader. But the end result, after running thousands of different models, is that there's not a single variable that we can measure that happens to somebody before age 20 that predicts their likelihood of being a leader. And that doesn't mean that it doesn't matter what happens before you turn 20, but what it really is suggesting is that all of us have the potential to move into positions of responsibility, whether we're born into a wealthy family or a family with very little money, whether we're at a top educational environment or a rather ordinary school that we attend, whether we're the varsity athlete or student body president, or if we're relatively unknown in our high school. Those variables really don't matter. Now, what does matter is what happens in your 20s and 30s. Those become the catalytic years of our opportunities. And so the Lord brings into our lives people who can make a positive difference. And one of the things that I talk about in View from the Top is the importance of finding a mentor, someone who can help introduce opportunities and help you make connections. And it's part of why I love working with college students, because those years are so critical to their long-term success.
You mentioned leadership catalysts, developing leaders by accelerating their, I'm quoting you in your book, catalysts develop leaders by accelerating their comprehension of what is required to function in high-level positions and by stimulating their development. Dr. Lindsay, who was your catalyst?
There's a wonderful man named George Gallup who founded, whose family founded the Gallup poll. And when I was a Master of Divinity student at Princeton Seminary, I had the chance to intern with Mr. Gallup. His father had founded the firm back in the 1920s. George was a serious Christian, active in the Anglican tradition, and he took a real interest in me. We ended up doing my first book project was a co-authorship with George Gallup on religion in America. That gave us opportunities to be interviewed on everything from CNN to Time Magazine, New York Times, Wall Street Journal, you name the media outlet, we were able to get covered. And that's where I found that many more opportunities came my way. And it was really because George had been a tremendous mentor and encourager to me, and he was willing to share the limelight with a younger associate. And it made all the difference in my life.
Did you realize what was happening while you were going through that?
You know, I always knew that George was a very special man, and I was very grateful for his influence in my life. But I don't think I fully appreciated the extent to which his influence and the opportunities, the doors that he opened, would actually change the trajectory of my career and create opportunities that I could not even dream of at the time. Because of my experience with Gallup, I was able to develop some competencies in the field of sociology, which is not a subject I studied as an undergrad, but I ended up pursuing a PhD at Princeton in the field and then ended up getting a teaching job at Rice University on the sociology faculty in Houston. All of those were great blessings that came directly from the chance to work with George and to get some book projects in our partnership. So it was a really special relationship.
Now, I'm thinking about someone who understands, at least on the fringe, this idea of the leverage or the power or the necessity of the catalyst in our lives to be able to move to the next level. But what would you say to somebody who doesn't seem to have a way of having some catalytic person, a leader, look at them and say, hey, come under my wing. I want to help lift you up. They always seem to miss that. And so they feel somewhat alone in life with this dream that never seems to have a chance to become realized. What would you say to a person like that?
This is precisely the kind of prayer that God likes to answer. So I think that you ask the Lord to help you get an opportunity to meet someone who could open up new doors, and you begin looking around to see, are there folks at your church, people at your place of work, friends of family members who might be able to make connections? It's helpful for this to be a person who's outside of your family because you need a little bit of distance. But I think that the Lord brings along our path many different individuals. They don't all have to be famous people or in positions of great power or prominence to be catalytic in helping you move further along in your own calling and what God would have you do with your life.
What would you say about someone who has reached a certain level of mastery in whatever they're doing, but they're not inclined right now to pass anything on? What would you say to that person?
I think unto him much is given, much is required. And there's a clear mandate from a stewardship perspective that if the Lord has given us opportunities professionally or personally, if you can make a difference in somebody else's life and you choose not to do that, I think that we're held accountable for that. So I encourage all the people that I interact with, and as we have a chance to visit when I come to Hawaii a couple of weeks, I very much hope that I can encourage and spur people in positions of responsibility and folks who can look around and see, are there younger individuals that they could encourage and help them emerge in their own leadership.
Dr. Michael Lindsay is going to be speaking at the Hawaii Prayer Breakfast. Suzanne, what's the date of that very important event coming up?
Thursday, April the 13th. The day before Good Friday at 7 a.m., Hilton Hawaiian Village Coral Ballroom.
Oh, that's a big one. That's something, it's always packed. They always bring in these top-flight communicators, and we have Dr. D. Michael Lindsay, who will be speaking, the featured speaker at the Hawaii Prayer Breakfast, sharing with us from his book, View from the Top, and also sharing his life story, how God brought him along to a place of influence there at Gordon College as an author. You know, Dr. Lindsay's Pulitzer-nominated author, his book, Faith in the Halls of Power, was listed in Publishers Weekly's Best Books of 2007, and his work has been profiled in hundreds of media outlets worldwide, as he mentioned a bit earlier. His research has been funded through fellowships awarded by the American Council of Learned Societies, the National Academy of Education, and the National Science Foundation. When we come back, by the way, speaking of the halls of power, let's talk about what he has learned, what he has discovered in his research, at least a little bit about the halls of power. Hey, you know what? When we think about catalysts and that yearning of someone taking us under their wing, there's a certain kind of attitude, a certain kind of person that perhaps makes someone desirous of pouring their life into you, sharing some of the secrets that they've acquired through years of sacrifice, toil, through investments made, and even failures that can be learned from. But a certain kind of spirit, a certain attitude is needed. I'd like to talk a little bit about that. And then the halls of power, Dr. Michael Lindsay, when we come back. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Waihua. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Waihua, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Well, he talks about network, or he writes about networks. And if you ever think about name dropping, and someone who could very easily drop name after name after name that will just pull you in, almost make you feel envious that he had time with these people of prominence, it would move you. He's with us today. His name is Dr. D. Michael Lindsay. He's the author of the book View from the Top. He's also the president of Gordon College. You can find out more about Gordon College and Dr. Lindsay at gordon.edu. I mean, we're talking about presidents. We're talking Fortune 500 CEOs, top leaders. You can find out more, again, at gordon.edu. And this program Get it in its entirety at thegoodlifehawaii.com. That and other resources available for you. Danny Yamashiro here with Suzanne Maurer. Dr. Lindsay, speaking of the halls of power, why is the White House Fellowship, according to you, the nation's premier leadership development program?
It's an amazing program that was started in 1965 by President Johnson. Since then, about 750 extraordinary individuals have been shaped by this. It's a one-year internship where folks who are in their late 20s or 30s move to Washington and go work directly for a cabinet secretary. In that process, they develop leadership skills that serve them well for the rest of their lives. I had a chance to interview probably 100 alumni of the program and conduct a survey of all the people who have been in the program and compare them with people who have been finalists but actually not selected for the program. It's interesting because I served on the selection committee probably 8 years ago, and what I noticed is that they take 3,000 applicants in a given year and narrow it down to 30 individuals who are national finalists. And by the time they've got it down to 30 individuals, all of these people are rock stars. They're amazing. They're very talented, whether they are business owners or educators or entrepreneurs or leaders in finance or lawyers or physicians, just doing amazing work in their respective calling. And who gets selected, it's in some ways it's idiosyncratic because they're so talented, it's really hard to tell them apart. But if you track their careers, what you find is that 12% of those people who went on after that were not selected for the program, but they had just been a finalist, and then they followed their career. 12% of them go on to occupy a very senior position in their respective line of work. And we had some statistical ways in which we measured that. If you compare that with the people who were not just finalists but actually selected for the program, 32% of them go on to these very senior leadership positions. What that shows me as a social scientist is that at one moment, you've got these two groups of people. You can't tell them apart. They're equally talented. Then half of the group go through this tremendous leadership experience for 1 year and become part of this community. And then if you track their career, they are 2.5 times more likely to occupy a senior leadership position than the control group. That's what convinced me that the White House Fellowship, it's more selective than the Rhodes Scholarship. It's more effective than any other leadership development program in the country. And I believe it's a great model for us of how you can develop leadership programs that work at your church, your school, your business. And so at Gordon, we've tried to build a program for college students. It's the only program in the country that's modeled on the White House Fellowship that's for students who are of college age.
Now, you mentioned Catalyst. We talked about Catalyst in our last segment. But there's someone called a principal in the White House Fellows Program. Who is that, and how does that work?
So it's really funny because oftentimes people who are in leadership, they don't even see themselves as being very powerful. I went to do my interview with Colin Powell. He had served as chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. He had been the National Security Advisor for President Reagan and had served as Secretary of State for George W. Bush. And he said, you know, Michael, I don't really see myself as powerful. You know, I'm not even sure I'm a leader. My wife sometimes doesn't see me as a leader. She knows my failings and mistakes. And so I'm just not even sure that I belong in this study. And I said, General Powell, of course you do. And he said, well, you know, I've never really seen myself in that way. What I learned is that in 1973, Colin Powell was a White House fellow, and he went to go work for a man named Frank Carlucci. Carlucci took a real interest in him and stayed in touch with Colin Powell for the next several years. When Frank Carlucci was National Security Advisor, he handpicked Colin Powell to be his deputy. And then when he stepped down from that job, he recommended to President Reagan that Colin Powell would succeed him. And there were many other people in the White House, James Baker, Ed Meese. They were recommending other people to the president. But the president took the recommendation from Carlucci, and he named Colin Powell to be his national security advisor. It was through that experience that Powell developed a relationship with George H.W. Bush, the then vice president of the United States. And then in the 1990s, he had the chance to work directly with President Bush as the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff during the first Gulf War. Most people say that those two experiences, serving in the White House under the Reagan administration and then as chairman of the Joint Chiefs when George H.W. Bush was president. Both of those things together compelled George W. Bush, when he was named president in 2001, to name Colin Powell as his Secretary of State. The person who made all of that possible was Frank Carlucci, who invested in Colin Powell back in 1973. He served as his principal, as it's called in the White House Fellowship, his mentor, his advisor, and he became a lifelong advocate for Colin Powell. And I believe that that really changed Colin Powell's life in a dramatic way. So you never know how God will introduce into your life someone who will become a mentor, an advisor, an encourager that ends up changing the very course of your life.
What kind of, let's talk about a sterling attitude, a quality. What did you find anything that stood out among all, you know, we talked about the 12%, 32% who got chosen, 12% who didn't, but both groups rose to senior ranks, one less percentage amount than the other. But as far as them even being finalists, what kind of attitudes did they have?
You know, the most important attributes that we want to try and cultivate in young people is what social scientists are now calling grit. It's what the Bible calls perseverance. Or faithfulness. It's the ability to bounce back from mistakes or problems or challenges. It's the ability to stick with something over the long haul. It's an important spiritual virtue, and it turns out it's a very important leadership virtue as well. So what we found is that those people who excel and rise to leadership in their 20s and 30s, they're individuals who are willing to stick with something. All of us experience setbacks or challenges or pitfalls. But the real test of leadership is your willingness to bounce back and to not give up. And that's what social psychologists are now calling grit. And it's probably the most important factor in predicting someone's likelihood of moving into a leadership position over the course of their career.
And what a priceless gift from God that is.
Absolutely. I think that one of the great things is that we can see the very best virtues that cultivate the spiritual life are also the very best virtues that make us great leaders, make us great people, good neighbors, folks who make meaningful contributions to our community. There's great alignment. So there's a lot of assurance in the messages that we're taught in Scripture and in the church end up making a positive difference over the course of our life.
Describe your experience with President Carter and President Bush.
Well, I have to say, when I went to interview Jimmy Carter, it was at the Carter Center in Atlanta, and I had spent a week in the archives of the Carter Center trying to read as much as I could about his background and his experiences. I knew that he was an evangelical Christian, and I also knew that I had a limited amount of time, and I really didn't want to waste a single question. So I asked him about what I thought was the most significant public policy achievement of his career, which were the Camp David Accords. You remember Camp David Accords is what secured lasting peace between Israel and one of its Arab neighbors. That's with Egypt. And it really came down to engagement between Jimmy Carter, Menachem Begin, the Prime Minister of Israel, and Anwar Sadat, the President of Egypt. And I asked President Carter early in the interview why these three men, a Muslim, Jew, and a Christian, decided to do something unconventional at the start of the Camp David Accords. They didn't do what most other political leaders do, which is hold a press conference or send out a memo that agrees upon a set of talking points. Instead, they issued a worldwide call to prayer, asking for the three great monotheistic religions of the world to pray that peace might come in our time. And President Carter said, I really believe that that probably is what made the difference in the success of the Camp David Accords. So we spent some time talking about that and the difference that faith made in his presidency and especially in his relationships with other world leaders. It was a great interview.
How about President Bush?
President Bush loves the game of golf. And as I mentioned earlier, my dad served as president for the PGA of America. So that was my connection with him. So in some of our interactions, we talked about the game of golf and things that he was passionate about. He actually spent some time talking about the importance of the prayer breakfast movement, which is part of what's bringing me to Hawaii in April, and it's something that's been around since the 1950s. There's a national prayer breakfast and then a set of state prayer breakfasts and some city prayer breakfasts. And those have become important milestones in the spiritual journeys of many political leaders. President Bush talked about how the National Prayer Breakfast and the support that came through a variety of different groups around the prayer breakfast movement made a real key difference in his life.
Gordon College is deeply, deeply blessed, greatly blessed by having Dr. D. Michael Lindsay as the president. When we come back, a question about passion about the presidency there of Gordon College. And Dr. Lindsay did mention about a White House Fellows program. It's distinct, the only one in the country at the collegiate level. We'll get into that and talk more deeply about how the Lord has helped him, yes, Dr. Lindsay, through challenging times. That and more when we come back. My friend, as you listen today, as we share in this time, take a moment, step back, even during this break, to reflect on where you are in your relationship with a catalyst in your life. Is there someone today that you could possibly reach out to, maybe take under your wing? When we come back from our break, further, who could you call? Who could you bring in to be a part of your business, your work, to be a part of your life? And dear one, if you're looking for someone to mentor you, someone to look out for you, well, maybe you need to reach out to that person. Maybe you need to pray. Maybe that person has already been reaching out to you and you're not even aware. You haven't even acknowledged that that's actually happening. And today could be a great reminder of that very thing happening in your life. Sometimes we pray and we don't even know. We don't even acknowledge when God is already answering our prayers. We'll be back with more from Dr. Lindsay.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
In times of economic challenge, opportunities arise. All we need is someone to say, I believe in you. Michael Beasley, a senior executive of Kaiani Team Aloha, has seen Kaiani products improve the quality of people's lives. Michael Beasley says Kaiani's mission is to empower people globally to experience better health, wealth, and a lot of fun. Contact Michael Beasley at 277-9528. Live outside the 9-to-5 workday. Become the CEO of your own business while Kaiani handles the details. That's Michael Beasley at 277-9528. 277-9528. Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. There are times when injuries take place. In some cases, surgical care is necessary. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi at 484-2042, 484-2042.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcast with friends and family from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Mahalo to Wahiwa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chenan and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, LNS Marine Services Consultants, Arsina Kailihiva of Purium, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight. Providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
He
listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Gordon.edu. Again, Gordon.edu. That's how you can find out more about Gordon College. Dr. D. Michael Lindsay, the president of Gordon College, is with us today. Again, you can find out more at Gordon.edu. He's a former member of the faculty of Rice University. He also serves on the boards of Christianity Today and the Veritas Forum. You're listening to The Good Life Radio Show. Danny Yamashiro here, Suzanne Maurer, my co-host, and Dr. D. Michael Lindsay. Suzanne, when is the Hawaii Prayer Breakfast? When is Dr. Lindsay going to be speaking?
It will be on Thursday, April the 13th at the Hilton Hawaiian Village Coral Ballroom, 7 o'clock a.m., and they can find out more information at hawaiiprayerbreakfast.org.
HawaiiPrayerBreakfast.org. Dr. Lindsay, what are you most passionate about in your leadership at Gordon College?
I'm passionate about influencing the next generation. I get so excited and inspired when I'm spending time with college students. It's why I love being the president of Gordon, and I want my life to count, and I feel like that probably the most profound way to do that is to invest in them, to help encourage and support them, to reach new heights and new opportunities, and to be able to bless them in their respective callings. So it's a great pleasure to be Gordon's president.
You mentioned the White House fellowship-type program at the college. Describe what that program is.
Sure. It's called the Gordon Presidential Fellows Program. We'll have 60, 70 students apply for fewer than 10 spots. Each of the cabinet officers of the college, so the vice presidents and I, each will take one or two students to mentor directly. They work for 10 to 15 hours a week in our office, working on substantive projects. My two presidential fellows right now are helping me prepare for a commencement address that I'll be giving in May. And they also get a chance to be mentored directly by the cabinet officer. So I take a personal interest in these students, trying to help them land internships, get into grad school, find the right kind of job. Precisely the kind of influence I'd love to be able to have for the 2,000 students that are here at Gordon, but because of time limitations, I have to focus my energy and attention. And so the Presidential Fellows become a group that I try to dedicate some time and energy around. And they're a great blessing. It's a one-year fellowship, and it's designed to really speak into their life and to help them deepen in their leadership abilities.
How has the Lord helped you through difficult times?
Well, one of the things I'll be sharing at the Hawaii Prayer Breakfast is about how leaders are oftentimes made more effective through the crucible of challenge and difficulties. And in my own life, I certainly have experienced that. So I'm going to share a personal story about my own journey of parenting a special child and how the Lord has surprised us along the way. And it's opened up many doors for us, but also created some real challenges. In my own professional life, leading Gordon has not always been easy. We're located in the most secular part of the country, and many people disagree with our Christian convictions. And so we've had to learn, how do you work alongside people who deeply disagree with you and in some cases want to see you out of business? How do you respond graciously and yet stand up with courage for your convictions? So I'll be talking about some of the challenges that I've experienced both personally and professionally and how the Lord has used that to make me, I think, into a better leader.
How did your series, your 10-year-long study, research on the top leaders, how did that shape you to be the kind of president that you are?
You know, while I was working on View from the Top and having a chance to meet these 550 amazing Americans, I was struck by how common some of their experiences were. One of the key things that I learned, 96% of the people that I interviewed were married at the time of the interview. And not all of them were in their first marriages, But what it suggested to me is that leadership is a lonely job, and so we crave a companion, someone who can walk alongside us. So I realized it's very important that I nurture my marriage and that I care deeply for my wife, because she's going to be the important companion who'll go alongside whatever journey the Lord puts along our path. So I think I learned the importance of relationships, and especially being dedicated to our family. You know, it's interesting. We live in a society that does not reward you for being a good husband or for being a good father. We get rewarded because we landed a big sales deal for our company, or we made some kind of innovative product, or we won some kind of an award. But there are very few awards for changing the diaper well, or spending extra time with your kids, or helping with their homework. But it's really those menial tasks that we do with those that we love that end up having a profound influence on our legacy. David Brooks, the New York Times columnist, has written about this, and he says, we spend a lot of time focusing on the resume virtues, those things that will get you additional bullet points on your resume, or the kinds of things that maybe get you accolades at work, when really you want to be thinking about cultivating what he calls the eulogy virtues, the things that people will talk about, your character, the way in which you cared for those around you, those kinds of things that they say when they deliver your eulogy. Very rarely are they going to be spouting off a list of accomplishments from your job or your career. Instead, they're going to talk about the kind of man or woman that you were. So while working on View from the Top, I learned it's important to pay attention to those eulogy virtues and to making sure that we cultivate that part of our life.
Such important words of wisdom for our listeners.
Well, I hope it's a word of encouragement.
Mm-hmm. What are some, give one or two examples of some of those that you learned from those leaders who were practicing? Busy people, how did they balance their lives?
You know, I think probably one of the most important things is that the more demanding your schedule, the more essential it is that you carve out time for the things that are your priorities. So when I took the job as Cordon's president, a good friend of mine said, you'll never be more tempted to cut out your time of daily prayer and Bible reading than you are when you're leading an organization. And yet never will you need that constant connection with the Lord more. So make sure to prioritize that. I think you have to actually just say, I'm going to be diligent about making sure that these elements stay a part of my life and that you don't let them go. And so it's the simple things. It's being active in the Word, having an ongoing relationship with the Lord. I make mistakes every single day. In fact, today I've had a lot of things that I've learned that I thought, oh, I could have done that much better. But I am grateful that I started my day by talking to the Lord and asked Him to walk alongside me through the journey, and I'm confident that I'm in a much better place than I would have been if I hadn't done that. Those kinds of things, I think, make a difference over the long haul.
What is your favorite scripture?
My favorite scripture? Well, my favorite book of the Bible is the book of Philippians. And if I had to choose my favorite passage of scripture, it'd probably be Philippians 2, 1 through 11, which is the great hymn to Jesus Christ that the Apostle Paul wrote, where he talks about how the entire world, all of us, will bow down at the name of Christ, who modeled for us what it is to be the great servant leader. And I love the book of Philippians because it's the book of encouragement. It's urging us to live a holy life and to try and to serve one another, to advance not just the cause of Christ, but also the common good. And so in many ways, the book of Philippians has become sort of my mantra, my favorite place to read.
Mm. A word to someone, a parting shot to someone who's going through a tough time right now.
I found that when I face difficult times, the first 50 Psalms are probably the best to read. In one verse, David will say, oh God, I trust you. And then in the next verse, he says, oh God, help me because I can't possibly trust you. And I love the human nature of David, which comes through in those Psalms. And we're reminded that God is sovereign, and that even through those difficult moments, the Lord is walking beside us. And there is not a single experience the Lord is bringing into our life that He is not also wanting to use to redeem and to equip us for a greater act of service. So part of what we have to do when we're in those difficult moments is ask the Lord to show us how He is redeeming the pain, the disappointment, the hurt, and then to give us eyes to see that in tangible ways, And in the process, I think it helps give meaning to the challenges that we're facing and helps us move to the other side. I faced a really difficult season in my life, and I'll be talking about that at the Hawaii Prayer Breakfast. And I think if I had to walk away from that and say, what's the most important thing I learned is that God can redeem even the most difficult, trying seasons of our life as long as we remain faithful.
Dr. Lindsay, we've got about a minute left. Could you lead in a prayer right now for someone who is going through that rough time?
Absolutely. Let's pray. Lord God, we realize that there are people listening at this very moment who are facing challenges and difficulties. You know their specific circumstances. You know their names. You know their stories. I pray that you would be near to them, that they might feel your presence as they listen to the radio at this very moment. I pray that you would bring someone into their life this day who could be of an encouragement, someone who could help them to see that you are at work. I pray that you would give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to sense where you are at work, even through this pain and difficulty. I pray that you will make all things new, that the challenges that we face would be for just a moment, and that you would help refine us into being redeemed people who are prepared to serve you for eternity. We know, Lord, that there is no one like you. You are without equal, and we commit our lives to you. We are your servants, here to do your bidding. So we ask that you would take this difficult experiences that we may be going through and redeem it for greater glory. And we look forward to seeing all that you will do. We pray this in the strong name of Christ our Savior. Amen.
Amen.
Dr. Lindsay, thank you. Thank you for sharing your heart, sharing your life with us today. We appreciate you.
Mahalo.
Mai kai. Very good.
Dear one, I hope you've been encouraged today by Dr. D. Michael Lindsay. You can find out more about him and Gordon College at gordon.edu. And there's no better time than right now to share the love of Jesus with someone near you. My friend, if you haven't done so, hey, look, this is the perfect moment for you to open your heart to Jesus Christ. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com, click Get to Know Jesus. I've got a special presentation for you there. If you'd like to make a donation, financial support for what we do, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. Psalm 78:72 says, "And David shepherded them with integrity of heart. With skillful hands, he led them." It's always a blessing to be with you. Special thank you to Dr. D. Michael Lindsay. Again, gordon.edu. Until next time, along with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer, technical producer Chaz Ontai, guest coordinator Jamie Lee Kwai, and web designer Arlen Nagata, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener-supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life.